Hello and welcome into the 12th episode of the Gridiron Frogs. This is brought to you by TCU on SI. My name is JD Andrus. Our normal host, Nolan, is not able to join us tonight. He is currently in a box suite at the Rangers game, which I'm not sure how much fun that is for that season right now. But obviously, I'm not alone. I'm joined by the one and only Micah Beutel. Micah, it's a pleasure to have you on. I see the hat. I've got the sticker on my laptop and on my water bottle, which aren't next to me, but obviously just means less ACC. We're excited to have you on.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be on. I really wish I was going for a little while there. I thought this was the game I was going to be going to. I'm headed down to DFW next week for SMU and Florida State. That game has a little bit more impact, obviously, on our account than maybe this one does. But obviously, would have loved to experience an Iron Skillet game because I think it's one of the more underrated rivalries, I feel like, in college football. And I don't know if people talk about it. And on our account, we're really trying to do our best to obviously, promote the ACC as a whole, and obviously our newest member, SMU.
It is Iron Skillet week. It's Dallas versus Fort Worth is essentially what the entire thing is. And I don't know how much time you've spent actually between the two areas, but they really don't like each other. It's kind of like a Hatfield and McCoy thing. If you tell someone you're from Dallas and they go, "Oh, Fort Worth," they're like, "No, Dallas." Tell someone you're from Fort Worth, they say Dallas. It's a big deal here. You even had the mayor of Dallas today wearing a shirt that says TCU sucks at his little like town hall meeting today. So it's a pretty big deal here. Just talk to us about SMU and their entrance into the ACC and kind of the ACC as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think, right, SMU's entrance to the ACC has been one that has not maybe gone especially how SMU fans had thought. I was obviously more hesitant than, SMU burner Twitter would have been. But, even I have been quite disappointed with the entrance that SMU's had. I mean, they haven't won a Power Five game that's not named TCU since like 2004 or whatever it is. I mean, it's some ridiculous number. And the fact that they just continue to like get in their own way. I mean, call Nevada and BYU what they are. I mean, the fact that they just looked awful in those games, and like Houston Christian, I mean, no disrespect to them, but there might be one of the worst FCS teams. I mean, I got to see their campus for the first time, and the fact that a CVS drive-through is the sideline at their football stadium kind of tells me a little bit about what they are as a program just in terms of funding, right? So, it's been interesting for SMU. I mean, I think they got obviously a lot of question marks. I'm sure we'll go into the actual matchup here in a minute. But, I'll say I'm excited to have them. I mean, I think from an ACC standpoint, right, call it what it is, even though ACC and Big 12 Twitter likes to beef with each other, I think we're not that much different. I mean, we're two conferences that I think have a lot of value that always just get to sit second fiddle to the Big 12, or excuse me, the Big 10 and the SEC. And I think that's not really fair, right? I mean, the Big 12 provides a lot of depth just from, I mean, a competitive standpoint, right? I think the worst team in the Big 12 can beat the best team in the Big 12 on any given night. I think the ACC kind of has that same problem, or I don't really see it, view it as much of a problem, right? So it's going to be fun just to kind of see how these two play out. I really hope that the ACC and the Big 12 get some representation in the playoff besides just their conference champion, and then obviously make some noise. I mean, it's been fun, and obviously the ACC and the Big 12 have met four times. I was at the first meeting of four with, of course, your Frogs, and then the Stanford Cardinal in their first ever game as an ACC member, and that was obviously a very good football game, from a competitive standpoint. So, hopefully, right, we see similar stuff, and we've seen very competitive games with Pitt and Cincinnati and BYU and SMU, and of course, Pitt and West Virginia this past weekend in the Backyard Brawl. So, it's a very fun, I think, pretty balanced, league in the ACC, similar to the Big 12. And I think, again, we obviously like to beef with each other on Twitter, but I think you and I do a pretty good job of remembering, right? We're not that much different.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of the thing. And I have no ill will towards ACC, and I actually like the conference a lot. A lot of the teams, like, I love Georgia Tech especially. I think Louisville's a great, school and program. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where you said that they're so much closer together. And they're kind of like if you think of them as kids, like the first set of twins is the SEC Big Ten, and they're the oldest, and everyone adores them. And then you have the youngest ones that kind of are just fighting each other nonstop when they could just be banding together. And even more so towards your point is like Backyard Brawls last weekend. Now you have the Iron Skillet between TCU, SMU. There's just a lot of parallels between the two conferences that I'm really excited to watch them kind of unfold from here on. Yeah, and you know, to kind of catch you up and talk a little bit more too about TCU is TCU had the heartbreak against UCF this weekend. SMU's coming off a bye week, and now they had after a loss to BYU, who a lot of people have as a bottom ranked team in the Big 12. So I think a lot of people view this matchup as kind of a skewed matchup towards TCU's favor. And I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of scared of SMU. And we'll go into it here in a little bit why, but you know, I'm really excited that it's the battle for the Iron Skillet because it could be the last time TCU ever plays in Highland Park. It's because it's not Dallas, but it could be the last time they play in Highland Park because the rivalry might be ending after next year. And you know, I think that's just the state of college football, and I'm really upset. That's how it is. You know, but Micah, how are you coming into this game? How are you, what are you giving SMU's odds at just winning the game?
I mean, I'm going to say it based off what we've seen through 3 weeks of football, right, with these teams, TCU is the better team. I'm just going to just shoot it straight, right? Like what I saw from TCU, that's the nice thing, right? I got a front row seat to TCU in week one. I really like Hoover. I think Josh Hoover really provide, I mean, he's the better quarterback in this matchup. I mean, SMU doesn't even know what they're doing at quarterback. Like it's Kevin Jennings now. I still think that Preston Stone might be better, but at the end of the day, I just want him to pick somebody. I really don't care who it is, just pick someone. So at least they're doing that, it sounds like. But, you know, obviously from that standpoint, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see if Cam Cook can kind of get going or not. He's obviously not necessarily been what I think someone expected him to be, but he does have four touchdowns, right? So, you know, there's obviously some value to what he brings. So you know, I think what I'm most intrigued about, to be honest, JD, is just more like, does SMU show up? Like, they've had good crowd shots in their last couple games, like the BYU game early, right? There was a good crowd. Obviously, it kind of fizzled out as the game was, let's just call it what it was, pretty tough to watch,
Yeah.
you know? But, you know, obviously, this being such a big game, I mean, I already saw the TCU's bussing students over, which is going to be obviously awesome. Like the last thing I want to see, right, is TCU fans maybe not outdrawing SMU, but maybe come third, fourth quarter outdrawing SMU. I mean, call it what it is. I think SMU for me has been kind of frustrating because obviously I believe they have a great fan base, but they haven't been Cal on social media or like
Yeah.
Stanford had zero fans, and that we've learned pretty quickly they actually have a pretty solid core, not a massive core, but a good core. So like I'm curious if SMU, like this is the time to show it, right? You know, you have back-to-back big weeks. I hope that they don't choose the Florida State game over the TCU game. I hope that this is a fan base that can pick back-to-back weeks. I mean, they haven't played on the road yet. Or actually, back. They've played Nevada on the road, haven't played on the road since week zero. So like, is this fan base gonna be tired of playing at home? Like, you know, I don't know. So I think that's something that I'm looking into as well. But you know, I think the biggest thing that frustrated me is that TCU is not undefeated going into this game, because y'all are gonna be pissed. The way
Yeah.
that game ended with UCF, like when I saw the final score after last I checked that y'all were up two touchdowns or whatever it was, I was like, this is not gonna be good for SMU, is it?
Yeah, and it's funny because that's exactly kind of how I felt about SMU after they lost to BYU, was I was like, man, that's not good because now they have a full bye week. Maybe Rhett Lashley is gonna figure out who he wants at quarterback. And then now they get 2 full weeks to practice, and then they get TCU at home in a rivalry game where anything can happen. But I don't know how much you know about SMU Stadium, but it's normally for TCU SMU week, it's majority TCU fans, just because the SMU fans are a lot of times they say it's because it's they're at the lake or doing other important stuff, so they're not there. But it's not, it's really not that great of a stadium. It's great atmosphere there. It contains the crowd volume, but like 2 years ago, they ran out of water in the stadium in the second quarter. And a September game in Texas is not, you know, the greatest thing.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, four, I think it was 4 years ago, the restrooms flooded. So there was just waste everywhere leaking out of the restrooms. It's not the greatest experience going there, at least from a TCU perspective, but I'm really scared that this is the week that SMU finally becomes who fans thought they could be and who I thought they could be, because I was really excited for this to be an undefeated versus undefeated matchup of two teams of, you know, one of them's going to finally take that step forward and this is going to be the game to prove it. But now I think we're kind of looking at an SMU team who's like, can you take any steps at all? Like, you know, there's a real possibility that they could be 1-2 going into this game after week, or I guess after the Nevada game.
I mean, I feel like with SMU, this is a must win. I mean, it might be the same way for TCU. You would know better than me, but like, if SMU loses this football game, their chances of making a bowl game, in my opinion, are very slim because they have a brutal, because they had that week zero game and, like, again, playing so many games at home. Like, part of the reason why I'm going to the Florida State game, honestly, it's not the most ideal game to go to, especially because hopefully, I've been very fortunate. ACC schools have credentialed me all season, but you never know if SMU will or not. I'm hoping they will. But if not, tickets are ridiculously expensive for a game that's going to feature 2 and 4 football teams currently. But, like, you know, they have to go to Louisville still. They have to go to Virginia, which I know that might not sound crazy. I'm a Virginia fan, but Virginia, when they play at home the week before Virginia Tech, is a completely different Virginia team than you see every single week. Last year was a top 25 Duke team they beat. A couple of years ago was a top 25 Miami team they beat. Like, they have this ability, right, to continue to just really come after it. So that's something that I think, you know, from an SMU standpoint. And again, Florida State next week, like, Florida State's been bad, but they've not been any worse than SMU, and let's just call it what it is. Florida State has more talent on the roster, especially from a depth standpoint. So, like, you're looking at, if you're 2-2, I mean, and I would even rule at Stanford as a win, because, you know, if you're a Stanford Cardinal fan, you're looking at that SMU game at home, like, we need to win that if we want to show improvement from last season. So, like, at Duke's kind of the same ballpark. So, you know, Pitt and Boston College at home don't, and Cal don't look as easy as they did 3 weeks ago. So, you know, we're talking about a team that kind of needs this, not only just to obviously get a third win and only have to win three more, but just from a momentum standpoint. I mean, because right now it really feels like, I mean, power rankings wise, if Florida State wasn't winless, SMU would probably be the least, probably the worst team in a power ranking in the ACC right now.
Yeah, and it's crazy to say, but I also think part of it too is the ACC has been surprisingly very deep this year. Like, I was very high on Boston College going into the year. Wake Forest is always a fun team. Anyone who says that Virginia and Virginia Tech are not tough games to play at their home stadium just doesn't know college football. They have elite atmospheres. But yeah, TCU is kind of, I don't want to say in the same boat where it's a must win. But I think oddly enough, they're in a must win that Sonny Dykes kind of needs this win to win over the fan base a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, you had the 2022 season, but majority of them are Gary Patterson's players. You had last year's disappointing 5-7 season. You have this year where you just blew a 3-touchdown lead, you know, with 13 minutes left in this third quarter to UCF after you had that game one-handedly. And then, you know, we talked about it on yesterday's podcast, but Sonny Dykes came out and said that, you know, he doesn't think play calling's been an issue. And so I think a win here puts a lot more, you know, or takes a lot of pressure off of him. And I'm really excited for that because I really truly think that Sonny Dykes is a great coach. And I love the fact even more that we stole him from SMU and that they've been stuck with Rhett Lashley, who has made some very big head scratching moves this year. But Micah, I need to ask because we've talked about it within everyone else on the staff, I've talked about with friends, the quarterback situation. Should it be Kevin Jennings getting the start, or should it be Preston Stone?
The only thing that I can think of, and again, I'll be the first to say, right? Like, as much as I want to say I'm an insider, I'm a big believer or a big component of not speculating anything or trying to, you know, dig into things like player injuries. That's not my business until that becomes public knowledge, like the SEC kind of does. It's not my business to see if I can get some insider information on whether someone's got a nagging injury. But like Preston Stone, since he got injured last year, obviously has not looked like Preston Stone pre-injury. So that's the only thing I can think of is that it's bothering him. Or again, Lashley seeing in practice what Stone looks like when he has to do more. But I mean, you look at the numbers, Preston Stone has been better. He's a better quarterback rating. He's been, in my opinion, like, yeah, he's made some boneheaded mistakes, but so has Kevin Jennings. Like, they have the same amount of interceptions. Stone has more touchdowns. Like, I mean, Kevin Jennings obviously provides more as a mobile quarterback, but I don't think it's enough to justify anything to where, like, I don't know. I think you ride your veteran guy. I mean, at the end of the day, all I hope is I better not see Preston Stone play in the first half, unless it's an injury. Like, because if you trot him back out there, because let's say Jennings is, I don't care if Jennings is 0 for 17, stick with the guy for the love of God, please. I'm telling you, like, that's cliche is annoying, right? If you have two quarterbacks, you have none, but it's so accurate that you have to say it. I mean, I think at the end of the day for SMU, what's going to come down to is whether Breshard Smith can get going. Because when he has had success, that's when this team has been successful. But he kind of got shut down against BYU. And if they don't get him going, we might have another snooze fest on our hands. But I like the weapons of TCU just a little bit more, especially because SMU's defense has been good. But they kind of have a bend but not break attitude, kind of what I saw with Stanford and TCU. Like, Stanford kept kind of giving TCU a chance, and they just kept holding them to field goals until finally the dam finally broke, and it was just too late. And the offense for Stanford, as you might remember down the stretch, was three plays, and none of them were really working because TCU figured out it was a three-play system.
Yeah, I you know, you kind of segued perfectly into it is, you know, TCU just got burned on the ground. RJ Harvey was held to his least amount of rushing yards in a game this season, but it was over 180. Like, that's not really saying much. He averaged, I believe it was 6.7 yards per rush. And then you got Breshard Smith, who's currently averaging 7.2 yards per carry. Like, this is the main concern. And I think what could be the game changer is TCU. If, you know, let's say Brett Lashley's watched the game tape and says, hey, we're just going to run the ball for four quarters because after halftime, the defense might be worn out and we might have our shot then. But I do think that Kevin Jennings or Preston Stone also has a really good chance of being able to make some noise in the passing game, just because, I mean, you got Keyshawn Smith, who's has over 100 yards so far on the year. And the TCU secondary kind of folded a little bit in the second half. And also one thing that has not been talked about yet, but I kind of want to bring up is Kevin Jennings. I believe Preston Stone should be the starting quarterback because I was very high on him at the beginning of the year because, like, the talent level is a bit absurd. But, you know, obviously, like you said, if maybe there is something going on, then you got to do what's best for his health. But TCU has not been able to stop a rushing quarterback. You saw it with Stanford. Ashton Daniels was 17 for 87, 5.1 yards per carry. KJ Jefferson this past weekend was 9 for 46 with 5.1 yards per carry. And Kevin Jennings is currently 15 for 96 with 6.4 yards per carry on the season. Yeah. Like, those are that and Breshard Smith is basically UCF's backfield. But I guess my question would be, do you think SMU's offensive line would be able to handle it? Because they've been a decent point of struggle this season.
Yeah, that's, I think that's probably been the biggest frustration. I mean, I don't want to speak for SMU fans, but I know from my standpoint, when we were doing our team, we did daily team deep dives. I was so excited about the offensive line from SMU because that was like their biggest question mark with SMU, Stanford, and Cal. Was not even so much Stanford and Cal, but like even just, you know, with them as well. Like, how are they going to be on the lines of scrimmage? Because, like, again, when you look at, I know Florida State and Clemson have been down, but say what it is, those line of scrimmages are always, you know, those are some five-star, you know, big boys up front. And that was something that kind of caught me off guard was, you know, SMU kind of had, you know, Phil Steele had him the top five line offensive line group in the ACC. They've been one of the worst units. So I think that's something to keep an eye on because, like, I feel like Stanford so far this year has had a better O-line and they had some success getting after Ashton Daniels in that game. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think what's going to be interesting that I kind of noticed, you know, with TCU, especially early against Stanford, was they had a really hard time with the tight ends. And that's where SMU's best receiver lies with RJ Maryland. So if they can get the ball out quick to RJ Maryland, or again, like, one thing I like about SMU is they have a very deep backfield. Like, Jalen Knighton's a very solid secondary back to transfer from Miami, excuse me. So, like, if they can kind of get him rolling, and again, just like get him into a rhythm. Like you said, like maybe the first down play is a handoff to Breshard Smith for 3 yards. And then it's a rollout from Kevin Jennings for 4 yards. And it's third and three. And they're able to sub in a two-back system where it's Knighton potentially getting the carry or catching one out of the backfield. And Breshard Smith in the slot there. Or again, RJ Maryland just running a quick, you know, 4 or 5 yard in. Like, you have potentials, right, to move the sticks. I just hope that they don't try. Like, we noticed it a lot, especially in the Nevada game, but even some in the BYU game, they kept taking shots. And it's like, why are you taking the deep shot? Like, you're down three. Just move the football. Chip. I mean, again, how many times he got in the red zone? I think it was, what, four red zone trips with no points? I mean, that's unbelievable. You can't do that against anybody, let alone a power four team like BYU. So, I mean, if SMU can just figure out how to even convert in the red zone, I mean, they're 3-0 right now, and probably just because of preseason hype, a top 25 team. So, you know, it's crazy how things can switch pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the ideal too, was, you know, I talked about a little bit earlier, but both of these teams, it was like one of you will be ranked by the time this game's over. And then now it's like one of your seasons might be done by the time this game's over. And, you know, I know it's early to say, and it may seem facetious, but it's also a real possibility. Losing a rivalry game, especially this early into the season after both coming off losses, is a real big make or break time. But so when you dive deeper though into the offenses, like a lot of their stats are kind of similar, which kind of terrifies me a little bit. I mean, SMU hasn't been great throwing the ball, but they're still averaging 226 yards passing per game, which is a lot better than I thought it would be when I looked at it originally. But I mean, rushing, they're averaging over 195.3. So I guess my main concern is still just going to be, can TCU find a way to adapt? Because it was just inside zone that UCF ran against them, and it worked after two quarters. So I'm just really excited to watch that matchup. But yeah, RJ Maryland is one, it's insanely talented, and it's so much fun watching him on the field. And I'm excited to see him in person in the press box this weekend. But yeah, I truly think that this game is a lot more cut and dry than it should be. It's just two teams who are kind of needing a big win, but one team just looks a lot better in their previous games than SMU has.
Who do you think has more pressure in this game? Because like a part of me wants to say SMU and Rhett Lashley, right? Because of the expectation, but at the same time, right? It's year one in a Power Four conference. You're coming off an American Athletic Conference championship. You know, obviously the injury that happened last year, like the bowl game against Boston College. I know it's going to make BC fans mad, but let's just call it what it was. That was not really anything of relevance for SMU. You know, and obviously, but again, he's also not won the Iron Skillet. It's been what, since 2021?
Yes.
Since the SMU's won? Yes. Yeah. So like, you know, obviously there's that pressure, but then you look at it on the flip side, right? Like Sonny Dykes, like you said, kind of needs to get the fan base back on board with him. On top of, right, you missed a bowl game last year, losing this game because of the depth of the Big 12. Puts you in a really weird spot where you're starting to sweat out, right, whether you're going to be a bowl team this year. And again, you're 2 years removed from a national championship appearance. Like, you can't drop off that quickly. I mean, you can have one bad year, but back-to-back bad years, again, you said with the whole Gary Patterson thing, like, how many times can you be like, well, I got to the national championship before someone goes, yeah, with other coaches, players. So, like, who do you think has more pressure in this game?
That's such a tough question because – you bring up a good point where SMU gets that buffer, right? Where it's their first year in the ACC. So technically, no one expects them to be great. But like, they were kind of expected to be great. Honestly,
they took no money to join the conference because they don't need it.
Yeah, that was what they said. They've got their hand over fist paying money to players to get them on the team, but you can't do anything. And honestly, I don't think it's as much the teams as I think it's both head coaches that are equally under the same amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Because if Rhett Lashley still hasn't figured out a quarterback situation, that's an awful look if SMU loses a game. And then on the flip side, like we talked about, if, you know, Sonny Dykes loses his first Iron Skillet since being at TCU after the loss last weekend, it starts to raise questions. And you know, there's a lot more like, hey, maybe this isn't the guy like everyone thought it is. But I don't think there's pressure on one team to have to win. I think there's a pressure that whichever team doesn't win this, the coach's seat kind of gets a little bit warmer than it should be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's not even there's that much pressure on the athletes, more so the coaches. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I think what makes this game so intriguing besides just the pure regionality, right? There is some implications because call it what it is, like Rhett Lashley last year was getting, you know, thrown around as one of the bigger names. Like, I mean, at one point, his name was floated for the Alabama job, you know, and now obviously Sonny Dykes kind of same ballpark, right? Played for a national title, you know, and it kind of felt like there was a chance. I mean, I will say it's it's been fun that the Hypno Toad's back for TCU. That maybe that's the magic. But then again, UCF may have stole that magic with their trolling video last week. That was hilarious after the win.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, it's just gonna be like I'm jealous you get to be there. I'm gonna be able to watch, which is nice because it's at well. Watch some of it, you know. I'll be watching it. It's supposed to be pouring down rain, it sounds like now in Boston. So I might actually be press box locked for that game. So might actually have it up on the laptop because, you know, I'm probably the most fake credential media of all time from a standpoint of needing a workspace. But I won't complain. I'll take what I can get. But I mean, it's, yeah, I'm very, very excited for this game.
Yeah. I guess it depends if people, what age most TCU fans are that you're asking. But if you ask, you know, an older crowd of 40 plus, a lot of them say that SMU is TCU's biggest rival. The younger crowd says Baylor. But I just find that the Baylor and TCU rivalry is always just both teams are competing. This is a TCU SMU is a pretty decently one-sided rivalry. What makes it fun is the regionality of it. Like SMU wears uniforms that simply just say Dallas on them. And I've been begging for TCU to come out with Fort Worth uniforms for the longest time because they would just look so good in when these two teams played. Like, just wear it once a year. And I think that's what makes the rivalry fun. And I think what just sucks is that there's a lot less to talk about and break down in this game just because of where, you know, with TCU losing last weekend and where SMU currently sits, it kind of loses the shine of what it should get. But it's probably one of the most underrated rivalries in college.
And I think too, right? Like you got two teams that like you and I can speculate all we want. I don't know if Rhett Lashley and Sonny Dykes even knows which teams are going to show up this weekend.
Yeah.
There's just been so much like TCU first half against UCF, completely different team in second half TCU. Flip it with Stanford. First half TCU was very, very bad. Second half TCU, very, very good. Like, yeah. You know, SMU, we've seen bits and pieces, right? We saw, obviously, the Houston Christian nomination. But, like, there was that third, late third, early fourth quarter against Nevada. That's the top 25 preseason team you heard sometimes speculating about. You for BYU, you had one drive. You're like, oh, wow, that looks exactly like the SMU offense we were supposed to get. And then you don't – or you see multiple red zone trips, and then all of a sudden it ends in the worst way possible. I mean, it is fascinating. Just, like – it really is flip a coin with these teams. I mean, obviously we'll probably, I'm assuming, make a pick, but like, I don't see any wrong scenarios here, minus maybe one team winning 100-0.
Yeah. I think that's what makes it funny. You just kind of linked it. What we're going into is it is pick time. So Micah, what is your pick?
ACC guy is a terrible ACC guy, but it's worked out when I've picked against the ACC. I just think TCU's better. I mean, from what we've seen, again, I got to see TCU firsthand. I don't know what to, you know, all I can say is SMU, if SMU wins this game, it's because they got their crap together in the bye week. Because what we've seen of three games of each team, TCU has been better. As much as I want to think that TCU fans aren't going to outdraw SMU fans, I, of course, have seen pictures and watched this Iron Skillet game before, and I have seen a lot of purple and red seats. So, you know, obviously I expect TCU to travel well. I mean, they traveled well to Stanford, so why would I assume that they won't travel well 40 minutes, 30 minutes, yeah, whatever it is with traffic away? So, you know, from that standpoint, I think TCU is just the better team from what we've seen. And again, I think the better quarterback, the one we know the most about, is Josh Hoover. So I think that just alone makes me think that, you know, if TCU is smart, they're just going to line up and say, okay, we're going to stop the run. Let's see if Jennings can beat us in the air. And if he does, then okay, fine. Tip your hat to Kevin Jennings and try to make an adjustment before the game's over. But the start, I don't know why you wouldn't just say, all right, beat us over the top. Good luck.
Yeah.
Make a throw.
That's exactly what worries me, because that was the exact game plan against UCF and it was working. And then it was just the second half happened. And I have fought with myself all week about this, just because there's a legitimate concern that this SMU team could be a completely new look, completely new formations that have been unseen, because now that Kevin Jennings has been your starting quarterback that you announced 2 weeks ago, you can game plan him in better and fit his suits better. So that's the only thing that really concerns me about SMU being able to win. Other than that, I just don't think that their offense can keep up with TCU's offense. I think you're looking at maybe a 14-10 game at halftime, and then either TCU can pull away or it becomes a shootout if TCU has a second half defensive collapse again. But I am going to go TCU, but I mean, there's a pretty good chance that SMU can come out of this bye week looking like the team that they were promised to be. And no better team to start that against than your biggest rival.
Hey, man, if the ACC can have a winning record against the Big 12, I mean, I got all those bookmarks of that wonderful ass logo that all those Oklahoma State fans made. I'm down to open some bookmarks. You know, it was fun opening some bookmarks against West Virginia fans that said they would delete their count if Pitt beat them, so, which definitely caught me off guard because I'll be the first to admit I thought West Virginia might be different this year, but maybe they're not. So, you know, that's what's fun is, like, yeah, the Big 12 has made me mad because obviously our account, we get nothing but heat from Big 12 fans. But it really is, like, it is fun to watch both conferences. I mean, I think, like, call it what it is, right? We have very deep competitive conferences where, I mean, who is the Big 12 favorite right now? Is it Utah? We don't know because Cam Rising keeps getting so many question marks around him. Is it Oklahoma State? I'm sorry, Gundy, but until you actually win one, it's hard to believe that you're actually going to be the guy that does it. Like, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I actually like Mike Gundy. I kind of like his just does not care how you think about him mentality. I might not agree with everything he says, but I at least like the approach of I am who I am. Fire me. Do it. Like, if you want to, if you don't like me, get rid of me or don't cheer for me. I don't care. But, like, you know, we're not that different because, I mean, obviously our top members didn't leave yet, but they've been trying to. So, like, you know, I understand, right? Like, I've always thought the Big 12 was more than Oklahoma and Texas. Obviously, it's more fun for my account to pretend like everything left for Oklahoma and Texas left. But I do think the Big 12 is a good conference. I think the ACC is a fun conference. Like, I kind of wish that, like, we had more crossover than the four games we've had. Like, I wish we got keg of nails like we used to with Louisville and Cincinnati.
Yep.
I mean, especially with the whole Satterfield thing, that make it even more fun. But, like, you know, I'd love to see just more of those types of crossovers, right? Or Cal TCU, the Sonny Dykes Bowl would be hilariously fun. Like, those types of things would be just, again, like, enjoyable. Like, that was one of my favorite things that I saw at the TCU-Stanford game was the Cal fans that were there. And they're like, I don't know who to cheer for because I hate Sonny Dykes, but I hate Stanford. So, yeah. I joked, I was like, please tell me you don't have, like, any matches on you or something, right? Like, you're not going to burn this stadium to the ground, and, you know, and I'm going to be one of the victims here. Like, it's been fun to just kind of see, and obviously it's, right, it's 2-2, so that's been enjoyable, right, to see. You know, it's been pretty balanced, you know, from that standpoint. So excited to kind of see. Obviously, this will be a tiebreaker. And is there, I think there's one more ACC Big 12 game this weekend, isn't there? I can't keep track. The 17-team thing, I don't know if you run into that problem, but I just can't keep track of, like, who's playing who. No, there's no more ACC or Big 12 this weekend. But God, the conference realignment is just,
yeah. Ugh. Dude, when you try to think about all the teams, yeah, it's absurd. One thing too, and I kind of want to talk about this before, you know, we call it quits on this, is a TC or a Big 12 ACC match, like, tournament or just like a weekend playthrough would be so fun. Like, I think about it from, like, a baseball standpoint. Like, it would be such a fun, you know, baseball weekend where it's full ACC versus Big 12.
TCU Virginia in Fort Worth would hit different.
Yeah. I mean, think about a Florida State, Oklahoma State. You can go Miami, UCF again, but a full weekend series.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Clemson Utah's versus, like, Kansas, like, a Utah State on the rise would be kind of fun. Like, throw a Utah against, like, a Pitt.
Yeah.
Or, like, a BC, a program that's been, like, two programs that, like, have had good years and bad years, but, like, no one thinks about as having pretty decent baseball programs. Yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, obviously Cincinnati-Louisville kind of reconvening that rivalry would be fun. Man, or Cincinnati-Notre Dame. Man, yeah, there's a lot of fun we could have there, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got to have, like, a super random, just doesn't make any sense, like a Stanford versus West Virginia weekend series, because that clearly screams. Or Cal-West Virginia makes more sense, right? Battle of the True Blue and Golds.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, oh, man, that would be
I've been thinking about that, and that would be such a great weekend of just college baseball and just even the basketball, you know, going against each other as conferences would be fun. But, Micah, it was great having you on. I appreciate you coming on. And if you want to go ahead and plug your socials and everything.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, people that are listening, you know, we We have fun on our ACC account. So if you want to kind of see what's going on, obviously Cal Twitter is just taking over the world. So they've taken over our account basically too. But you know, it's Just Means Less ACC on Instagram and on Twitter. It's at FQACC, but the name's Just Means Less ACC. We give away stickers all the time. We give away hats. We're about to drop a merch line. So it's funny because like it kind of works where if you're an ACC fan, you want to buy the gear. If you want to make fun of the ACC, you can also buy the gear. So, you know, kind of works both ways. But, you know, obviously, you know, we do a lot of live coverage, our big thing. And I know a lot of there's some Big 12 accounts that do the same thing, right? It's just promoting the brands that are in our conference. Because, you know, especially I don't want to speak for the Big 12, but from an ACC standpoint, you know, because of our regionality with the SEC, everyone thinks of us as second fiddle. I live in Tennessee, right? Everyone thinks of the ACC as just some joke, like almost group of five type conference. And it's not. It's one of the best conferences in all of college athletics across the board. And obviously football's been down, but the ACC has won more national titles than the Big Ten in football in the last 10 years. So like, it's not like it's super irrelevant conference either. So obviously check us out if you want to engage with us in a negative way. I mean, feel free to come after us if TCU wins, you know. I mean, I obviously posted, you know, Dallas comes before Fort Worth for a reason back in whatever that was, early August. So feel free to find that tweet and quote tweet us and come at us. I mean, it's always fun, right? I mean, I think you and I are pretty good about like, hey, we'll own what we say, you know.
Yeah.
It's that's part of the fun, right? Is being wrong. I mean, obviously I don't want to be wrong, but if I was right all the time, that'd get kind of boring too. So
yeah. Last question real quick before I end it. The Cal Florida State thing might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Does Cal pull out the win this weekend?
Dude, I don't know. I feel like it's gotten so bad now that like it's almost like I think what's saving Cal is that Florida State's still favored from the betting odds.
Yeah.
Like that might be the only thing. Because if Cal was favored in this game, I don't know how if you're a Cal football player, you don't see. I mean, you log on Twitter and every single like that's my joke is that I was one of the coolest things. One of the Cal birders that kind of blew up, they DM'd me and was like, we're not going to give you full credit, but you were the first one to truly unlock a little bit about us. Cause like, again, I was the hype guy kind of introducing Cal when they were playing UC Davis to the world. And so obviously they took off and they took care of Auburn and everything. And I knew they had a good burner account even or burner Twitter world before all that happened. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because what's going to be really interesting is if Florida State does win, how many Florida State fans that have been hiding for the last week just magically reappear. Because like it's funny because like when we do our power rankings, there's Florida State fans that respond to us like because obviously there's 17 teams that play football in the ACC. They're like, oh, we should be number 19. It's like. Like they just crap on themselves harder than we do, you know? So it's going to be fun. I mean, I'll be openly admitting it. I'm cheering for Cal, but I'm also the guy that normally cheers for whatever does the best. Like, for example, as much as I love Stanford, you know, in a way I kind of want Syracuse to win because they're one of those teams that can really help our brand from a playoff standpoint right now. I don't know if Stanford can necessarily do the same thing. So I kind of deep down will cheer kind of quietly for different teams to do different things. So, you know, from that standpoint, right, I'll be cheering for Cal too because, I mean, call it what it is, Florida State fans kind of ruined a little bit of my love for them in Omaha. So when we tweeted, ACC fans, post your pictures of you in Omaha, and Florida State fans took that as a reason to say we're not ACC fans, we're Florida State fans. I'm like, yeah, but you're part of the ACC. That was the whole point of the tweet. So, you know, when that all happened and they kept fighting me, I was like, all right, fine. If you don't want to be a fan of us, whatever. But I will say, shout out to Michael Alford, AD for Florida State, does follow our account. So, real one for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's having a great time on Twitter. I often forget Syracuse is in the ACC. They feel like such a Big Ten school. But, Micah, it was a great having you on, as always. I look forward to tweeting
well, before
at you
we
some
go,
more
we're going to do any sort
game.
Of bet on this game. We did a bet.
I didn't want to bring it up because we both went for the same team, but I feel like we still have to.
I mean, I'll pick SMU for a bet purpose. I mean, that's fine. I mean, as long as it's not like I have to delete my Twitter account because I'm putting that on the line. But like, I'll happily tweet, you know, Fort Worth is better than Dallas or something. If, you know, like I'll tweet a picture. Stock Yards is greater than whatever skyline of Dallas you want me to post or something.
We'll do. If SMU wins, I'll tweet that Dallas is better than Fort Worth. Oh, that'll pain me.
I want you to tweet. I'm gonna, here's what it is. You say Dallas is better than Fort Worth, and SMU is in Dallas because I know that'll hurt you even
more.
Yeah,
that'll hurt me even more.
And
it's
then
Highland
I
Park.
Will tweet Fort Worth is better than Dallas, and that I don't know. So you can figure out some Big 12 piece I need to add to that, so that way Big 12 Twitter can enjoy it too.
Yeah, we'll talk it over. We'll iron the final details. But Micah, thanks for coming on, man. I look forward to a little bit more trash talk happening on Twitter throughout the weekend. And at 4 o'clock, we'll find out which one of us will have to tweet something out. But as usual, this is brought to you by TCU on SI. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The CW is coming. Pony.